This is RSVNB Update, episode 390, recorded Friday, December 7th, 2012. The floor is made of lava. Hi, everyone. Thanks for joining us for RSVNB Update. Just the usual two folks here with you this week.
Yo.
This week brings us another Grandmaster quest, The Brink of Extinction. So we're going to be getting to discuss that this week with a bunch of other little things heading towards the Winter RuneScape event that's inevitably coming out later this month. And we'll have a chat about player-owned ports. So that's what we're going to be talking about. So, the quest, starting from the top. Did you do it?
I did half of it. I'm not done yet. I'm halfway through the fighting rooms, clearing rooms and whatnot.
All right. So, the quest is called The Brink of Extinction for anyone who's been hiding under a rock. And rightly so, that this comes out in December, the last month that we're all supposed to be alive.
Only, what, 2 more weeks? Yeah, 2 more
weeks.
Yeah,
2 more weeks or so. Exactly. So before we get too far into this, do you have any thoughts on the voiceovers of the Tsar in the quest?
I like their voices. It kind of fits how they look. So I think they picked people who made it sound really rocky, very heavy.
You know, there are times that the crackliness of their voice sounded like an almost an electronic distortion. So I'm not sure if that went with it, but you're right. They definitely were in character with their voices, so that's good. So this being a Grandmaster quest, it's got some pretty high requirements. 80 smithing, 80 defense, and 72 mining. Which is understandable given what needs to be done in this quest. So, you think the requirements are good or...
Yeah, you have to fight. You have to fight a lot of bosses anyway. And
that's true.
I would just expect you to, if you're going to be fighting these high-level bosses, you should have skills that represent you. Having one smithing isn't going to help in a quest. Never will. Yep. Never have, yep. Never will, unless you're starting out.
And you make a good point about that. It's entirely based on combat, and it's a good chance to experiment with EOC and whatnot. That's at least what I felt with it, because I think the first part of it before you get to the actual combat takes under 20 minutes or so. That sounds about right.
Yeah, 20, 25 minutes, 30, depending, how you use the orb.
Yeah. So essentially,
it was easier to just use the orb and find out where the thing was and than actually looking up a guide. Some of the guys I was looking over were just confusing.
They were. So essentially what happens is you go down to the Tsar City and you discover that more and more eggs are hatching as Gull, which are the creatures that have no memories, as we learned back in the Elder Kiln quest. Mm-hmm. So the whole point of this is to try and save the species from extinction, hence the name. So we start out by bringing the Gull to Mej'ak, I believe. I forget what the other guy's name is. But anyways, you bring them there, and then you hear about the ritual in the Elder Kiln. And then that's eventually you make your way there, and that's where all the combat starts and everything with that. And that's where the combat portion of the quest actually begins.
Yeah, so basically after your little cutscene, they tell you, all right, we have to chase him and we have to go fight them. And it's nice that they have this little bank outside waiting for you.
Yeah. It's a perfect respawn point if you die during the fight. Because, well, A, if you die, you keep all your items. And B, like you said, you spawn right there. So that helps quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
In just doing it. And in a way, it's cheaper to just die if you're going to die rather than using all the food that you have in your inventory if you don't want to do that.
Mm. And then you fight the big boss at the end.
Yeah. So getting there, you end up making a discovery that the Tokel is actually the remains of the dead Zarf people. So, in a way, in the future, there's not going to be much used in terms of Tokel because it doesn't make sense, really, to be using the remains of the dead as currency. And that's part of the problem as to why this heat in the city is decreasing. And that, of course, is what's causing their extinction.
Well, one of the other things was they were supposed to, if one dies, they don't truly die. Their memories and experience goes to the next generation. That's why they're having the problem, because all the babies or the eggs that are hatching do not have the memories of their, father, great grandfather, blah, 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 blah. And so they don't know what to do. Which is why they throw him in the fight pits and just get slaughtered because, well, I need to become a warrior. And since you don't know, you will either get battle hardened or die.
Yep.
So in a way, though, like, I can kill everyone all they want. They'll make more babies. It's like mosquitoes. It's like the Borg. you kill one, 7-9 said you're immortal. Even their memories stay within the collective and all that good stuff. So,
yeah,
their memory lives on.
Yep. And the flow of lava was blocked by the Tarkar in order to actually kill the Tsar of the city.
Was the floor
made of
lava?
That's what we end up learning in this quest.
Was the floor made of lava?
Well, we can assume it once was, because that entire place is made of obsidian glass.
Get on the couch.
So, now, that's just a brief overview of what it is. Of course, you'll want to play through the quest to get the full storyline on your own. Essentially, we just need to go now on the chase to catch up to this guy. And through each of the rooms you go through, there's either a boss fight or a puzzle to do. So what room did you get up to?
I just got up to the third room. I didn't have time to do the whole thing this morning. I had to head out.
Okay. How many times did you die so far?
None.
Okay, good.
Not yet, anyway.
Is one of the hard rooms if you don't know what you're doing. So what I did for this quest is, through a bit of trial and error, I got a good ability bar layout and combat setup. Now, most of what you'll end up fighting through this quest is fire-based. So, of course, that means that water spells are good. There's some that are weak to bolts, so you'll want to have a crossbow with you and some rune bolts, so that's why I have the rune bolts. Then pretty much anything that is heavily armored, you'll want to take on with Crush. So an obsidian, or not an obsidian mace, a chaotic maul if you can get your hands on it. Or I just used my cheap old dragon mace, which worked quite well, actually. So, I mean, my setup is fairly cheap. It's probably what you would call the welfare setup, seeing as it's as low as you can go. Since it's using Torags, and the most expensive thing on there is the Dragonfire Shield. So it's a fairly budget-based build, and in the end, it worked quite well. Throw in some penance and prayer potions, and you're good to go.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the main pillar of what I set up here is the fact that it's a shield setup. So essentially what you want to do is you want to go with the majority of basic abilities on your action bar. One threshold and maybe one ultimate. And then everything else you want to be dealing with a shield. So in that case, resonance, reflect, and rejuvenate. And then it makes it quite easy. All you need to do is make sure that A, you're paying attention, and B, you have a decent server connection. Because as you'll find out, once you enter room 4, the floor tiles start glowing orange as in hot. And if you stand on them, you'll get hurt. So I think that's room 4. You haven't got to the glowing tiles yet, have you?
Mm-mm.
Okay, that's room 4. So basically you got to keep moving around whenever you see a glowing tile. So that's why it's good to ensure you have a good server connection. Another very important thing about this fight, especially at the end, is to make sure you have a stun ability. So either kick, backhand, bash, that sort of thing. Because in the end final boss, if you're fighting the guy and he gets to 50% health, he'll start regenerating and going into the lava flow, which of course is not good because he takes a long time to get down in health. So it's always best to just keep him from regenerating, and he'll make an audible note, or even in the little chat it'll display that he can regenerate. And whenever he does that, just stun him. And then even if he does make it into the lava, he doesn't regenerate, then you just got to attack him and then he'll follow you back. So that's essentially how the final battle works. You could bring in some overload potions as well. I didn't, because I was particularly lacking on the extreme ranged and extreme magic side of things. So for lower level fights, lower rooms, the first 5 or so, soul split is a good idea if you have it. And then, of course, the protection prayers. They don't work as good as they used to, which is fine. They still block a good amount of the damage. So, link will be in the show notes at update.rsbnb.com to the action bar layout. Do you have any questions about the boss fight at the end? That might be useful to our people.
Well, what prayer did you use to help mitigate damage, since it doesn't deflect everything?
At the end, the last boss fight is essentially deflect melee. The one you're going into starts off with deflect mage, room 4, because there's a bunch of water things. So you might as well use the deflect mage there.
Okay. I just switched back to regular because I don't have soul split yet.
And, yeah.
It was a little easier just to switch back because I can use everything on there. And it got me a boss kill.
Yep. And that's a good point to use the standard spell book if you don't have soul split, because before that, with EOC, they released those prayers that were exclusive unlocks from Dungeoneering, so everyone now has access to them. So that helps a bit as well, because they're high-level prayers and actually decent. So,
All right.
Just trying to think if there's anything else to mention in the battle. Main thing is, don't worry about it, just keep calm, because you can't lose anything if you die. And the fact is that sharks are only 200 GP each now.
Oh, man. Wow.
Yeah, I bet you're a bit upset about that.
I'm more upset on rocktail prices.
Yeah, those are only 750 right now, which is kind of low.
No one needs to eat anymore.
Yep. Because of Rejuvenate. I mean, Rejuvenate is an ability that I was saving up to use so many times during that quest. If I was anywhere below 50% health, I'd just use Rejuvenate in my next build-up to to alternate to adrenaline.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other one I'd use if I didn't need to regenerate health was overpower. And that's good because that actually has the ability to hit like upwards of 2,800 on the final boss, which is good. But yeah.
I usually use regenerate, but that one's only out of combat because usually I don't have a shield. Right. I'm using two-handed weapons.
And the thing is, being out of combat, by the time you're out of combat, the next wave is already coming. So you got to keep that in mind as well. But speaking of two hands, people also use two-handed weapons as option on this. That's the other way of doing it. It's probably the quicker way. So the idea is that you can use something like Darox or slashing or crushing two-handed weapon. I mean, one would think that would be the God Sword, but you discovered that it's actually the Ceridoman Sword that does crush.
Yeah, the regular God Sword is Bando Ceridoman. The others are slashing weapons. If you buy the Ceridoman Sword, the regular one, that one's considered a crush, which is interesting.
Yeah, it is.
Because I had assumed the other ones would be crushed considering how heavy they're supposed to be, but they're slash. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, okay then. Now I need a crush weapon.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I'm trying to think what the best crush weapon is, but I'm not sure. I mean, Ceridoman sword is there.
Yeah, but it's two-handed. That's a good sword. Yeah. It's just two-handed. So
that's right. And I think the Chaotic Maul is two-handed as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think maybe we're looking at the Dragon Mace.
Yeah. We're back to maces.
Okay. I always like the Dragon Mace.
I never cared for it. Because you always had the Dragon Longsword, which had much better stats. I was like, why get the Mace?
Well, Mace was built for crushing.
Yeah, but so was Dragon 2. So is the Dragon Battle Axe. Actually,
wonder where the Battle Axe is in this day and age for stats.
No, I don't know.
Whether it's Slashage or Crush. Definitely not Stab. I'm thinking Crush.
It's the strongest. Let's see. It is
You remember the Dragon Battle Axe special attack where it would boost your strength level?
Mm-hmm.
It was basically a free super strength potion. All right. The Dragon Battle Axe is a slash weapon.
Yeah. It should not be a slash weapon. It should always be.
It shouldn't.
No, well.
Let's see. Halberd is slash.
The only crush weapons are, let me see, double check. Crush weapons are basically warhammers, dragon mace, and that's pretty much it. Except for staff and mauls.
Hmm. Anyways, back to the quest. Weapons. At the end of the day, you discover what was actually happening and that you restore the flow and Meje agrees to no more suffering, sending the Gauls into the kiln, rather. And you reach the agreement in the final battle by defeating the Takhar guy. That they'll restore the lava flow to the city, thereby fixing the problems. And at the end, you're actually made an honorary czar.
Huzzah!
And you get the Tsar title.
Yes, I remember. I don't know. Only title I'm looking forward to is My Lord. That's the only one I care about. Jack still hasn't released that yet. If that comes out, I'm buying it.
There you go. All right. Rewards for the quests. 100,000 mining XP. an XP lamp for 275,000 XP in attack, strength, defense, magic, or ranged. As I said, the title, access to the Tarkar Fight Cauldron, and 3 quest points. Now, the Fight Cauldron is interesting because that's where this other reward comes in. The ability to smith obsidian armor. Now, going into this quest, people had believed that we would be getting a brand new level 80 plus armor. When in reality, there's a big caveat with this armor.
Mm-hmm.
You want to tell everyone what it is?
Well, it only works against fighting the Tzars.
There and we go.
And if you dare to wear it outside anywhere, you get triple damage. Oh, you need 88 might smithing to. Oh, you need 90 to make the plate body. Oh, hell, forget it. Screw that. I'm not even close to 90. Unless they let you assist, but I doubt it.
I think you could assist because this is standard smithing. Of course, you couldn't assist with the quest, but this is standard smithing, so I don't see why not.
Oh, we'll see what happens. I'll ask Dana. He'll help me out once he gets 99.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yes. Well, we'll talk about that later.
Overall, these... this is the kind of armor I think you'd want to wear if you were going into, of course, the fight kiln area, or you had a Tzar Slayer task, or you were going to do the fight pits, or go for that new cape from earlier this year.
Yes, yes. So this kind of came full circle.
What do you mean?
Well, you started off wearing whatever armor you had, and then you just you basically end up getting armor that is designed to fight them, period. That's designed to protect you from them.
And then at the end of the day, you probably don't even need it.
Well, I have no space.
Yeah.
Hopefully, they'll let me put it into my... my home, then I can take it out when I feel like it or something, but for now,
that'd be nice. They also included warrior, mage, and ranger helmets, so there's a bit of specialization wherever you decide to do it, so that's always good. You know, I think people were upset about this at the beginning because they wanted something where they could do this quest to get free armor or to make a nice little profit off it, but that didn't happen. So
You cannot trade them, can you?
Nope.
And I read that. I was like, Shane's going to be happy. And I was right. You came on later. I was like, yay! I was like, yes, I know.
And more on that later about why I'm happy. Specifically at the 3x damage outside of the Tzar area.
I think this degrades as well, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Let's see.
How long it takes, but it does.
You must wear at least one piece of armor to gain this benefit. Oh, that's a reduction damage thing. Let's see. No, it's a buff thing. Never mind. 30,000 toku in order to add 20 minutes to a buff, which protects you from, which reduces the damage done to you. Okay.
Well, you see that. I think that's kind of expensive.
Yeah, you got to spend time grinding.
Yep.
Can't trade toku, but anyway, I think most people who end up doing this, they it's nice that they can finally have a piece of armor that they can, well, have a use for the tokus or something. But then again, not that many people fight them anyway, so I don't know what you want to do with it, unless you want to get some onyx gemstones.
Exactly. That's what I was thinking. But those are kind of crashing too at the moment. So, I guess you could, but... All right. Shall we move on to tweaks and fixes for the week?
All right, tweaks and fixes.
All right. First up, attack strength, magic, ranged, and prismatic skill pendants will now appear more frequently this weekend on the Squeal Wheel. Also be a limited availability Czar Whip. We'll talk more about the stats in just a moment. It's now possible to convert a prismatic pendant into a skill for which you have owned an equivalent necklace, as long as you have destroyed the one you already have. Recharging gems and recharging cosmetic pendants from Diango remain unchanged. Now another good one. Slayer Masters now give out useful information about your target. So, for instance, if you talk to them and ask if you got any tips, they'll tell you what they're weak against, which is really good in this post-EOC update.
Yeah, I it was very nice to... that's what I did with my Dagonats. I ended up getting first Slayer Task after, they do weak to Slash, so I grabbed my two-hander. Oh my god, it was carnage. I grabbed my Armadale God Sword, put on as much AoE attack as I could, and I just slashed every single thing to pieces.
Your Armadillo God Sword?
Armadale.
Oh, okay.
Probably said Armadillo, but screw you. But yeah, it was God Sword is the way to go if you're going to slay those things. So much damage.
Okay. So you're happy about that. Lots of little tweaks and fixes this week for combat. Zamorak fighters at Aranya Altar are now aggressive. Bandits now appear as a target when they attack. Land versions of God Swords are now correctly triggering their passives.
Hey, Karumja rum is now drinkable. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Shane, let's go down there for a round. We can sing about pirates. Yo ho, yo ho, a pirate's life for me.
Why not sing like Captain Picard?
He drinks ale, not rum.
Oh, okay. Right.
A bunion swallow hole now gives the correct amount of light points. And
I didn't read that one.
The cold bag no longer has a no option.
Yeah, so lots of good little fixes this week. And apparently an NPC in Desert Treasure was still using the Dragon Dagger P++. So they removed that. Salamanders can now be sheathed. Yeah, quite a few this week, but those are just some of the highlights that we see, so head on over and have a read. All right. So, what's next? Oh, the Winter Weekends. So you remember last weekend we had the double drops? This weekend we got double points in minigames. So, unfortunately, does not include the penguins, because I think that's a distraction and diversion.
Anyway, so here's a breakdown of what to grab. We got the Castle Wars, Soul Wars, Pest Control, Big Chimchampa, Evil Tree, Shooting Star, and the Fishing Trawler. All of these are part of the double mini game weekend. So go Castle Wars, kill some people. Go to Soul Wars, kill some people. Go to Pest Control, kill some people. Go to Big Chimchampa, catch some butterflies. Kill the big evil tree, get the shooting star, and get some fish. Am I okay to breathe now?
Yeah, you can breathe. I think the fishing trawler thing is kind of useless now.
Oh, it's been useless for years. You just do it just to have some fun.
Unfortunately, yes.
Yeah, I don't know how much money.
The best ones to do on this list are Shooting Star, Evil Tree, Big Chimchampa, Pest Control, Soul Wars. Maybe Castle Wars, too, if you're saving up for a specific type of armor or something.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, right. The Festivora. I totally forgot about that this week. I've been using it. The Festivora?
Oh. I used it. I used it for agility all throughout the week. Gotta be agility nice. Level.
I wish it could be used for dungeoneering. That'd be fun.
Well, just what happens next week. Double dungeoneering XP next week. Yay!
Oh, boy. So that means this week I gotta rush through all my C1 floors.
I'm gonna go for the chaotic crossbow.
Oh, yeah. That's probably a good thing to get nowadays, given the fact that you need a high-level crossbow to work with enchanted bolts now.
Yeah, rune crossbow doesn't work with it anymore, which sucks. So, you have no choice but to get a chaotic or... What's the other one?
Armadale.
Ah, right. Which is extremely hard to get.
Yep. All right.
Okay, then.
With that being said, the Squeal of Fortune Combat Overload. Now, this is what I was mentioning we're going to discuss, specifically the Czar Whip. So people who are below level 70 can have a whip. The whip is converted level requirements from levels 1 to 60, so it stays useful as you level. So it's like an item that essentially levels up with you. It'll be able to be won until the end of December. It would be interesting to see what some of the stats are on this, but I haven't seen them yet.
I think this is supposed to level up with you, so I think at the end it'll be the same level as the regular whip. I don't think they'll make it more powerful.
Well, no, it only goes until 60.
Yeah, well, you need level 60 attack to wield the whip, regular whip anyway.
No, it's 70.
Oh. My bad.
Yeah, it's 70. Let me see. So the Abyssal WAP, if I could spell whip correctly, Abyssal WAP, damage 672 and 588 for the tier 7 Czar WAP. So, I mean, sure. It's a good slash weapon for people who are leveling up, so I think this is a good thing. What about you?
Yeah, you know, it'll be fun, but I don't see many people who are level 1 or level 5 is going to spend the money to try to get a whip.
Well, no, you're just going to spin the wheel and you get it by random chance, so.
Yeah, they're not going to spend the money to try and get more spins to get it. You know, Shane, I don't have your luck. If I did, I would have made millions already from my two darts. What did I end up getting? I got 24 Toastor Seeds and about a million Ceradomin Brews. Like, oh, that's nice. I can't even carry the Ceradomin Brews and they're crashing. What do you get? You get double Torvo.
Just the claps. Those are only market value 60 mil right now, but they're crashing.
You're complaining about making like a 50 mil profit.
I know, but I haven't been able to sell them yet. I want to sell them for what the price is on the exchange, not what the so-called street value is. Because that's what I said when this whole thing came out. You're going to have people who are selling stuff on the exchange for one price, and you're going to have the other market elsewhere for a different price. So I want to sell mine for what it says on the exchange. They're up there for 60 mil. If someone wants to buy them for that price, please do. If somebody wants to buy them for 70 mil, I'll let you come on the show next week. Just send me a private message somewhere. So if you want to buy a glove for 70 mil, get on the show next week.
Oh, God. Your in-game advertisement.
That's allowed. I'm trying to sell a piece of armor that I have.
Okay. Alrighty, so moving on to the next one, we have the Solomon General Store. You get some new Tokar armor set.
Yeah, an override.
Yeah, so you don't change the stats, it just makes you look like a badass. It actually looks, you know what's funny? It actually looks like the obsidian armor from Guild Wars.
Well, they are made of the same material.
Yeah, here, let me try and find pictures of it. Yeah. Ooh. What's that, Siri?
You know, one thing I was... No, that was the OS X version of that. One thing I was thinking of doing was taking one of those master keys or whatever they're called to convert an item, and I was thinking of doing that for my Santa hat, because I never get to wear my Santa hat when I'm out doing combat. So I thought that'd be a good idea. I think I'm going to do that. I just can't decide if I should get a 1 or a 3-pack.
Get a 3-pack. You'll have the extra one to use for something else in the future. And don't you save a little bit of money?
Yeah, you do. It's like you get one free, I think.
Yeah, so you might as well just do that. Do that.
And you're right. It does look like a piece of obsidian from Guild Wars.
And let's see. What else is there on this little thing? The Brutal Armor is indeed formidable, cast obsidian, and instantly imposing. Seekers of a most status quo demeanor should run a keen eye over the veteran armor.
So wait, we're talking about Guild Wars now.
No, that was I was just reading the Torkoal, the Brutal Armor.
Oh, okay.
I see. From RS. Okay. And so... You want to move on to the next thing?
Move on to the behind the scenes for December, which two of the updates we've already seen.
What are you doing over there?
I'm just playing with this. There we go, see? So next week we'll be player-owned ports. Essentially this is like a... bigger version of the Miscellanea Kingdom Management, they say in the behind-the-scenes video for this. So what that means is that you're going to essentially go to the player-owned ports area. You'll start little projects which will build your ships and whatnot, and then eventually you'll be able to send your ships in real time off to the Eastern lands. Doesn't this sound Doff system in Stowe?
No comment, but sure, why not? But... So we got to finally see some samurais. Yay!
Yeah, and they're going to be bringing stuff back and whatnot for you to use.
Oh, this is probably going to cost a pretty penny.
Accessing the port requires at least level 90 in one of the following skills. Herblore, Prayer, Runecrafting, Thieving, Slayer, or Fishing.
90?
Each skill attracts
90?
Yep, 90. Okay. Each skill attracts a different adventurer who has their own deep, mysterious storyline to investigate, unlocking more and more of the fabled Eastern lands. Let's see. What am I missing? I am missing
Fishing.
90 Thieving and 90 Slayer. No, I have 91 Fishing.
You just made it. Let's see, I'll need Runecrafting and Thieving. I got 97 Horror Floor, 99 Magic, 99 Fishing. And so just, do some,
And so I got 91 Slayer. So it's a bit of a teaser of what's coming. New level 85 equipment for Rangers, Mages, and Warriors. These need to be crafted or Runecrafted or Smith by players with 90 plus in those skills. So that's what the new... That's what runecrafting is starting to be used for. Rather than just making runes, it's going to be able to be used for actually making mage armor.
Yay!
Because crafting makes ranged armor and smithing makes melee armor. So... I guess that's understandable. It's just kind of sad to see runecrafting take this different turn after what it's been all these years.
Not turning, you're just expanding on the ability. I mean, you think about it, you do have to infuse magical elements to it to make it more powerful.
Yeah, that's true.
And, don't forget, we are running out of Rune Essence.
Yep. Also, a brand new, highest healing ever food type requiring 90 plus cooking.
Ooh, let me get my cooking gloves. Oh, wait, it probably doesn't work with them anyway. Never mind. Unless it's a fish, it's not going to work.
Yeah. Scrimshaw items that can be carried a brand new pocket slot offering range of skilling and combat benefits. Oh boy, we're going to have to update that equipment calculator once again. Whee!
You know anyone with
99? What else you can put in your pocket?
What else can I put in my pocket? Let's see. Right now, I got about tons of tools and about 550 million in my pocket mulch.
So that's coming. Watch a BTS video on that.
And there's also a Stray in the Manor for free and members.
Poor
Varrock dog has had it bad for the last few years. At Christmas, you'll have a chance to turn its flea-bitten, mangy life around. A special update more akin to the Christmas events of old. You'll be able to clean up a pack of stray dogs, build a permanent kennel in your choice of RuneScape City, and turn the dogs into a pack of Christmas reindeer. All geared up to help with the pet Christmas.
You know, I...
I'm not impressed here we go so again. Far. Shane, what? It's a free-to-play update. You're expecting
know,
too much from
I know,
free.
And all the other ones have been free-to-play as well. I mean...
They just want to... Let them have their dog, okay, Shane?
It doesn't...
Just let them have their dog.
I've not experienced yet, but I just don't think that this is going to be Christmassy enough.
So you want Santa, big Christmas tree, and shell out, and
sure.
Have everyone shell out?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So Shane, grab your party hat, get some red clothes and red pants and black shoes, and put on a couple extra pounds on your character, and you're good to go. You want
reindeer?
Where are
you going to get the Christmas tree?
You remember the one in your house?
Yeah, that's a sore excuse for a Christmas tree, though. I don't know.
You want a menorah?
Just something. Like, I don't see why it has to be about dogs or something else that necessarily isn't Christmassy related, you know? Like, I mean, even Walmart this year got away from the whole PC thing with not saying Christmas and stuff. Like, why can't we just have an update like we had that one year with the Christmas tree in Varrock, and there's actually a Santa somewhere in all the different cities and stuff, and then you can bring him those little toys. I mean, I think it's about time we have something a little bit more traditional again, because especially these Christmas events, they've just been too off the wall for me.
Trying something new. If you keep the same thing, what's the point?
Well, no, not the same thing, but just the theme. I mean, I just don't like the idea of building dog houses for Christmas.
Well, you've never cared for pets anyway. Of course you don't understand. You forget Shane, you forget most people like their pets more than their own children.
And that's the problem.
So get a pet, Shane.
No.
Get a pet goldfish.
Why? What satisfaction would that bring?
You'll have to take care of somebody else. The feeling of keeping a living being alive longer than it should be.
I've done that before.
Mike doesn't count.
What? No.
Well, anyway, that's all the RS update. You have the Brink of Extinction, a couple of tweaks and fixes here. We have the new minigame starting tomorrow or tonight, depending on where you are, and a couple of School of Fortune updates with a Solomon store and a behind the scenes
we
for Play-Doh Ports.
The pet update with this.
Not much of an update, really.
No, you won't have to carry them or worry about them anymore, but still. But yeah, I want something like the 2005 Christmas event. I mean, it's been 7 years. Surely we can have something a little bit more that actually looks Christmassy, you know?
But, okay, fine. Whatever you want. Let's see. We're also adding new monthly diversion distractions that can earn your Construction Slayer and Prayer XP. You'll build statues dedicated to a variety of gods by solving puzzles based around a mix of physical scaffolding and code-breaking gameplay.
Hmm.
Wonder it has to do with the whole Varrock statue thing with the those strange rocks.
No, that's different.
It could have something to do with it.
Maybe, but still, I think one statue is enough.
All right, so that's it. That's it.
Yes, moving on to questions. Give us a 2005 Christmas style event, please. All righty. First one's an audio question from Maramska.
Hello, Sneaky Shane and Temple Tricky. Maramska here again. Just to clear up my last week's question about the Christmas present one, as a thought it made me sound ungrateful. One year I got a phone lanyard or dongle, whatever you call it, and a few years after I got a 99 cents Christmas CD from the $2 shop. What the... Okay, my question this week. Why aren't you married? And when would you like to be married? I asked this question because the last 2 weeks I've been bombarded with that question. It's just not going to happen with me. Not that I am gay. Not that there's anything wrong with that. Anyhow, speak to you next time. Or I'm scared.
Are you certain, Mr. Worf?
You
know, I'd
Shane.
Like to say what episode that's from, but I can't remember.
I hope you don't, because even I don't know that one, and I'm not going there.
Oh, that's great. I personally have no plans right now or any timeline in my head about when this would be happening. I'm not going out of my way to make it happen like some people would like me to. and it really doesn't matter to me. Just whatever happens, happens.
We have to find you a nice conservative girl.
No.
I'm sure Mr. Dano knows someone's in your area.
Oh, gosh.
Come on, Unky Dano. Help Shane out.
No, I am not requesting anything like that. This is your idea because that's something you are looking for yourself.
And what's wrong with that?
There is nothing wrong with that. It's just when you try and do it for people who are not looking for that.
Shane, you need a girl.
Okay, answer the question.
Answer the question. When am I going to get hitched? When I find the right one. That's self-explanatory.
And there you go.
You know, so as of right now, the girls around my immediate vicinity are interested in doing anything. And what's the other thing I was going to say? Oh, yeah. And I know I share your pain of people keep asking when I'm going to get married. I don't even have a girlfriend yet. Leave me alone.
And if just I find before one, it would be anybody nice. Jumps in on anything, I'm going to quote something that former Republican candidate Rick Santorum said that's a good thing. And that is education, work, and marriage before children.
Well, I'm not going to go there, but... Yeah, Shane?
Yes. Yeah, I'm good. I'm good. I just wish you'd stop that.
I'm just trying
Alrighty.
To help you out, brother.
I told you, I'm not looking for anything like that.
Well, you met the education requirement. You just need the work requirement.
There we go. And that transitions nicely into our next question.
Hello, hosts. I've started working for the first time in the New Zealand summer holidays, and I was wondering what your first jobs were, and what was your least favorite job. Thanks, Carpine.
All right, Shane, you go first.
Well, it depends on the way you want to look at it. Like, I guess the first thing I ever did that that made some form of income. I don't know whether it was whether a large chunk or not, but it was back in the olden days helping out at some sort of, I guess you could call it like a hybrid farm golf course kind of place.
What did you do?
I don't know, just usual, like, farmer type stuff. And you know, that's where the whole farming on RuneScape thing probably comes in too. So, because I've done it in real life.
Mm. Well, as for me, first unofficial job was really just helping my dad with his little catering truck. Didn't do much of anything. I just gave out sodas when I was a little kid. But first actual job was working as a waiter. I was working as a waiter in a small Chinese restaurant. Learned a lot.
Okay.
Least favorite job. I don't know. I liked all the jobs I've done. Just sometimes
Costco?
I wish. What?
Your least favorite Costco?
No, I liked it. It was just, I wish that, you know, hard work, low pay. I liked all the jobs that I've done. I don't think I have a least favorite job. I like them all. They're all met good people. Crazy managers, but good people.
Am I a crazy manager?
Shane, I would not work for you anyway. You would probably fire me for being liberal.
No. I would never do such a thing.
You say that, but I think in your heart you would do something different.
Oh, no. Of course not.
Mm-hmm.
A worker who works, regardless of his race, religion, or whatever else, is a productive person and worth keeping around.
Okay, then. I'm looking for a real job.
I can
all right,
help you.
So. No, I'm okay. I'll find my own. Go my own path.
All right.
Make my own mistakes. All right, so, Shale, heck, I made my fair share of mistakes. You know that already.
Really?
Yes. Don't you remember I was applying for this one other job and I did the stupid thing? I won't go into it, but you know what that stupid thing was?
Right.
That, yes. So, all right, let's move on to the next one. I'll leave that there and if we get enough audio questions, maybe I'll let people know. There you go, Shane, I did it. Now let's move on to the next one.
I told you about that one. You should have listened to me.
I didn't talk to you about that beforehand.
Oh, okay.
I didn't tell you about that till I came back.
Question from 99 Aegis. Discuss this issue. A crashing economy... all in one haiku.
All right. Evolution of combat is bad for us. Sells off life-saving to quit. Now angry that the game didn't die.
Now, remind me what the structure of a haiku.
5-7-5 repeatedly, but usually it's just 3 verse.
Right.
So five phrases, so 5 words, 7 words. 7 words, 5 words,
syllables,
7 words.
You mean?
Well, it's always just 5 words. They said 5 words, but you can
I
go
syllables,
syllables or words. I think it was syllable. Well, if you want to go
this
syllable, that's all good to go.
This ish you. That's 5. Okay. The crashing economy. It's 5 again, huh? Or is it? I don't know.
There's a reason I wrote
all
this down beforehand.
All in one haiku. That's 5. I don't know. I used to be good at writing some haikus, but I really can't think of one right on the cusp here. So, the crashing economy. I assume he means RuneScape, because I could talk at length about both economies, if you like.
No, let's keep it within the game. We know what you're going to say. It's not going to change.
All right. Well, I think this was inevitable, and everybody going in probably knew this. We started seeing signs back this summer when God Swords took a major tank. And, you know, I think this is just a natural thing until people figure out what the heck is going on with their items and whatnot, because every item in the game still has a use. It's just a question of how. Like, for example, right now, the Ceridoman Godsword is 17.5 million, while the Armadale is only 5.9, which is the heck of a deal for what it does for you. So
that's why I bought it.
I mean, the people who are truly out on this are people who use combat items as an investment, which, you know, really isn't something that should be done, because, you know, combat's the biggest part of the game, and if something like that changes, you're basically out of so much money. So
yeah, even the Glories are tanking right now. They're around 10k right now each. They're about 10k each. They're just tanking.
Borrowed and that makes sense, because they only have the crit bonus to them. They're really not useful for anything else like magic like they used to be.
Even the Borrow sets are tanking as well, although Arnhem set had a nice little jump. Small little jump.
Another good one is Darak. The Darak set is 6 mil right now, primarily because the fact that it's two-handed, and as you lower in health, you do more damage. And you can basically one-hit Abyssal Demons if you're using Darak's.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, some things go up, some things go down. So it really depends. RM's 3.9. I remember Guthan's used to be the most expensive. Guthan, not even 2 mil. Let's see, Varak. 1.4. Krise.
I love my Guthan armor.
Yeah, Krise's in the middle, 2.3. That one sucks. Prayer. Torag. You know, I should have went with Darak. Because back in the day, I went with Torag for some reason. Because Torag plate and Darak plate have the same stats. So I should have went with that. But anyways, Carl, 2.6. So the items are doing various things, and it just depends on what kind of item it is and what its perceived use is. Something that's tanking quite a bit is the Ceridoman Brews as well, because they're not really that useful. So, I mean, it's a painful time for skillers as well, trying to sell their stuff. But on the flip side of thing, if you're a skiller, you could turn this around and realize that everything's going to be cheaper. So eventually the raw materials must come down to meet somewhere in the middle. So that's the way I look at it. And, you know, part of the way we played this game for so long is just ensuring that we're able to adapt. Because, like, just look at the price of the Toadflax herbs. Those went down quite a bit as well.
I'll bounce back up after Christmas.
Yeah, everything's going to bounce back up eventually. It's just going to find the new market kind of thing. Because, like I said, things are different now.
Yeah, so just wait. Things have to mellow out. We're all trying to figure out what to do with these things anyway.
Yeah, and another thing that, like, something I used to do that was very profitable was potion flasks, but those took a huge drop back in October, so.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think part of the problem with the people who are complaining about EOC is they're just complaining about it for their own personal reasons, is not the fact of the game in general. They're just complaining about it because they can't do things how they used to do or make money as quick. And once you find a way around it, you'll find that EOC is actually a good thing.
Yeah, I think they're just lazy to press 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Yeah, that too.
I did love my God Sword and Dagon. That I was like, I'm done with Slayer. That was the fastest Slayer run I've ever had. I didn't even use a cannon.
Yeah, because remember back in the day, Dagonoths used to finish a task like that really quick with the cannons. And as I recall, you just have to basically click a Dagonoth and it still comes onto you, right?
Well, if they remain aggressive, they all come toward you anyway. Yeah. Then you just turn on auto retaliate and just press 1, 2. What I did was 1, 2, 3, 2, 3, 5, and just let loose on my AOE attacks. Oh my God, it was so awesome!
Very nice. All right. Want to read the last one?
Okay, this question is from Veteran. Since the world is supposed to end soon, even though the Mayans didn't add leap years to their calendars, so the world should have ended a long time ago anyway, say you survive Rapture Day and you wake up in Vault 51, which 5 items would you like to wake up to? Oh, and don't worry about your family. Their family are alive and well. You're just the last one to wake up. Okay, what would you... Well, let's make this a little easier. What 3 things would you bring, Shane?
Would internet networks be working still?
No. Of course not.
No? Oh.
We'll go with the assumption that you're post-apocalyptic, so nothing's done.
All right. I would bring my iPhone.
If there was... Okay.
I would bring my screwdriver set. And I would bring a knife.
A knife.
Yeah, you remember that Star Trek episode, end of season 1 of Enterprise, where they fabricated a device to talk to the future using a copper spoon?
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking maybe I could fabricate something like that to get the internet working again.
Well, all you're going to do is rebuild the infrastructure.
Mm-hmm. That's why I said my phone, a knife, and a screwdriver.
I'll only bring one thing. Guess what?
What's
I would
that?
Just take a guess.
Benny.
No. He's alive and well, remember? I would bring a lifetime supply of toilet paper. In a post-apocalyptic world... no one has toilet paper. I'm going to be rich.
Okay, that's my number 4.
Everyone's like about, oof, everything, all the little things you need to survive. No, I'm bringing toilet paper. A lifetime supply. I want to wake up what's that company's name? And I want to wake up in a Charmin factory where it's like the whole, they have like a warehouse right behind me that's chock full of toilet paper. I swear I will be a billionaire, and anyone who tries to mess with my toilet paper is going to get shot.
So you're bringing a gun then?
Oh no, I'll pay guards and toilet paper.
Okay.
That's all I need. I just want the lifetime supply of toilet paper. Yeah, I don't think many people want to go the brush route.
The what?
The brush route. The Roman way.
Oh. Yeah, let's not talk about that.
What else would I bring? Let's see. Oh, as for funsies, I'll bring a Bible. Maybe I'll start my own little cult.
Maybe, but hey, you're that's not what religious.
So, I can pretend I'm religious. I can be charismatic if I spend time at it, working at it.
Okay.
You know, even Hitler had to practice his public speaking for a while before he got good at it.
You know, that's one thing I don't get. I make a comparison about our StarCraft II tactics being similar to what Hitler did. And You jump on me for that, but you're just here comparing yourself to Hitler in terms of public speaking.
Well, so did all my other public speaking teachers.
All right. See, what would my number five be?
A Star Trek magazine.
No.
Would you bring one of your Star Trek books? Assuming all of the rest of it are destroyed in a great fire of 2012?
Oh, maybe. Yeah. Sure, I guess. I don't know. I can't think of a number five right now.
What you should do is bring one of those books that like give a detailed instruction on how to build like a warp core and everything else and say you invented it all. It's just lost. Here, I wrote the book. See, I'm so-and-so. It's all here. We just lost the means to do it. And when you're old and gray, Shane, you can tell all your little mini-me's how great you were back in the day. And, you know, if anybody asked, you said that Trekkie over there with the lifetime supply of toilet paper used to be my business partner.
Oh boy. All right, enough of that one then. So thank you for your questions, everyone. We would like to do another live show before Christmas. So this next week is your last chance, as it's the 14th and the 21st. So please be sure to send us in 5 audio questions next week. And then we'll make sure the 21st is a live show. We'd like to do one then, so please do send those audio questions in next week. They can go to questions@rsbnb.com. Leave us a voicemail on Skype. Username is rsbnbupdate. Or you can send a voicemail to the phone number, which is 571-57-BNB or 571-572-2632. But yeah, we'd like to get 5 audio questions.
Yes.
All right. Tech news. So, Steam Big Picture Mode.
Okay.
Did you have a look at this?
Yeah, but I didn't care too much of it, so I kind of got out of it really quick.
So essentially what this is it's a new interface for Steam so that you can play games on your TV screen and sit at a far distance back. Because as we all know, this current Steam interface is designed to be sitting in front of a computer screen nice and close. So essentially what Big Picture does is it makes the interface bigger and lets you actually have control of it with a keyboard or gamepad. So essentially what Steam wants to do is they want you to connect your computer up to the TV in order to play games.
Yay!
Another interesting thing that they do is they have a web browser in here, so that's something that the Xbox just got a while back. And, you know, I think this is a good strategy for them, because if you think about it, if they were to partner with somebody, like I said years ago, make a Steam box and get this out, they would be able to essentially say, here's this $300 or $250 cheap computer with a bit of onboard memory storage, and you're going to be able to play any game that you have on Steam on this thing, providing it's a Steam Central game. And then your Steam games will be accessed, of course, from the cloud. And then assuming your internet connection is fast enough, you'll have a 64 or 128 gigabyte flash drive in there that'll just have the games on it. Then when you want to play a game, you just use it like a normal console. I could see something like this happening. The partnership just needs to be there to get the price down cheap enough. And if Valve wants to, if they want to pursue this and Linux, that would put them in a very unique spot for the next generation of consoles, which are due to come out next year.
Yeah, but not too late. Not for a while. Those consoles will be out till the end of the year.
I mean, there are people who play games and stuff, like only play Steam games, like Counter-Strike and Team Fortress who will be interested in this because, well, I mean, who doesn't want to play a game on a big 50-inch display, right?
Wouldn't you just hook up an HDMI cable to the TV?
You mean to the computer? Yeah, yeah, that's the whole idea of how it works. But the point is that now it's easier to do with the whole big picture interface.
Okay.
So I'm hoping this will be a good move for them.
Alrighty. So, yeah. Wish them the best of luck.
Yep.
Alright, what's next?
Alright, next up, Google Plus Communities. So for a while, there have been community pages on Google Plus for like companies and whatnot. But now there's a new feature to Google Plus. It's called Google Plus Communities, which is essentially groups for Google Plus. So groups can have a group page and you can post them and all stuff like that. So, I mean, it's interesting to see Google Plus coming back in the news because they've been kind of quiet recently, haven't they?
Yeah, Facebook is still very dominant in this, but... I don't know. Let's see what they're going to do with their whole privacy, blah, 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 blah.
Right, that a vote thing we mentioned last week. So, I mean, I don't know. I think Google Plus needs to do something more to actually get people involved with their site and get people to switch from Facebook. Because, as you know, it's just, it's a viral kind of thing where once somebody has something, everybody else goes there and people can't leave because all of their people are there and everything like that. So that's the real lockup here of what the problem is, but I think this is another feature that it needed in order to be truly competitive. And you know, they said they're not doing it in the same way that Facebook is, effort on the network. The effort is more on content, which is probably a good thing, I think. So... We just have to hope that there'll be lots of good success because Facebook doesn't really have any competitors on this full social front. I wouldn't call Twitter a competitor of Facebook.
Google is they're big. They're not. Their money isn't in Google Plus. Their money is in other things. I think they're just doing this to, you know, try and get a piece of the pie.
Yeah, and like I said, it was a needed feature.
Okay. What's all right.
Next? Ooh, the next one is yours.
Yay, the game clip. Oh, just something I found on YouTube when they popped into my feed. So basically what this little attachment is able to do for your Android phone is you can... you can clip this onto your phone and clip the other one onto a controller. Usually it's a PS3 controller. I guess that's how they made it to work like that. And you can use your PS3 controller. use your PS3 controller to be playing some Android games. And they were showing off some of the things like GTA and a couple of the other big, more like some of the racing games, Mario games and stuff, which I thought was really cool. I like it. It's really unique.
And you know the size of it looks just perfect.
Yeah, it's about $14.95, which was a decent price, decently priced. And if they designed it usually for the Galaxy S3, but they also have another one for more unit for all the other Androids, and they sell cases because you have to use a type of glue that they offer to work with the phone. But it's about $3 for just a case, so it's quite nice. I like it. I want one, but I don't have any games on it that would really take advantage of it. Oh, and their case selection is a little small. It's only about 6 of them, but hopefully when this starts getting the ball rolling, they'll start adding some of the other ones too. I think that's cool. I just liked it. I like it.
Yeah, because it essentially makes the mobile phone more and more like an actual handheld console, which I think for some games you actually need the double control sticks like that, you know?
I just Well, for me, usually what happens when I'm playing some of the games on my phone, you're really just pressing on it. And the problem is some games, some of the lower end games, what they do is your fingers ends up covering up the target, so you can't see what you're shooting
yeah,
at.
Yeah, yeah.
That's, I don't know, like, look at Angry Birds, you don't exactly, you know, if you're really, really close, you don't see where your thing is going to land. So if you want precision, use your finger, use your pinky. If you want to see the whole thing a little bit better, use the controller. But yeah, it's supposed to plug into your power, I believe. So okay. If you're playing some of the games, you'd hopefully have a nice battery. Otherwise, you're it's going to run dry pretty quick. I would assume if you're running the games like, you know, Grand Theft Auto and all that kind of stuff on your phone, it's going to drain quick anyway.
Yeah, yeah. You know, this is interesting that it's actual hardware, because I saw a solution like this for iOS when that came out. It's essentially a case that you put on your phone, and it added analog sticks to your phone, except it used it based on touch, so it wasn't actually physical hardware. So it did kind of limit what you saw, so it wasn't like this. So it'd be interesting to see if an attachment like this could end up being made to work with iOS.
I think they will. I mean, if this goes out, I think they'll do it for Apple too. I mean, why wouldn't you? Apple's big on apps and stuff, app games and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, especially third-party connectors.
Although I'm not a big fan of the PS3 controller. Once they get the ball rolling, they can maybe do Xbox controller. I like my Xbox controller a whole lot better.
Yeah, I like the Xbox controller as well.
But mine's wired, not wireless, so that probably would be a problem. But, you know, we'll see what happens. No, I like my controller. It's cool. I like my little Xbox controller.
I like planes, too.
Oh, well. What can I do? I live right underneath the route. Go away!
Just hope that one of them doesn't blow up when they fly over you.
Well, it wasn't over me, but one of the planes around here did had an accident with a flock of birds. That was a while back.
You know, that's actually a major issue with planes. People fail to realize that, is that birds are a major issue for flight paths.
Oh, that's why over here they have a lot of falcon trainers at the airport.
Okay. And, you know, that's where the... That's what happened to the Hudson River plane. It took in a flock of geese.
Yeah, it wasn't one. It was a whole flock.
Yep. Anyways.
So if you ever become a biologist or a bird trainer, if you ever want to work with birds and animals, that's a great field to get into, because they'll always need it.
And, you know, that's where the phrase "landed on the Hudson" came from.
Okay.
All right. Moving on. Skill of the Month update. Construction. 7 days in. Currently one stone pone, winning with 3.1 million experience. Second place, Pris, with 1.3. And third place, Jason, with 788,000. And about three people who didn't get any XP as well. So please get some XP.
Yes, don't be zero. Zero's bad. No. Be at least put in some effort. Bury a bone! Oh, wait. Oh, wasn't it? Never mind.
That was last month.
Yes, I'm still a month behind. Okay.
Yep. So, yeah, really not much going on here. It looks like we still got a bit of a race, which is good, a week in with construction and everything. So, That's good. Let's see, what else would I like to tell you about? I'd like to tell you to read the... roundup for November, since last week we did the show, we didn't have the roundup up when we did the show, so informer roundup, lots of stuff about Windows 8 and EOC and Q&As and the introduction of our newest RuneScape writer, Lord Rickles. So head on over and read the roundup at informer.rsbnb.com.
Okay, so you want to head over to the next part, the achievements of the week?
Yeah, we just got one this week, so you can mention that.
So the only one we have this week is JSB Rules 2, who got 99 fishing, yay, on December 1st. Congratulations to you. Yes, 99 fishing. And since fish are not as profitable as they used to be, I feel your pain.
Congratulations, JSB.
All right, Shane. So, what's your pick for the week?
I have a pick, I believe. Are you sure you want me to go?
It's either now or later, so minus you. I mean, you're gonna show it anyway.
Okay. I'm just gonna mute myself for a while. No, I'm gonna spare you. I'm gonna spare you the trouble, and I'm actually gonna go with something that's a bit decent, and people can actually get behind. As you might know, this week on Wednesday, I believe it was, the Gmail app for iOS and Android got a major update. Specifically, a graphic update and made it a bit more fluid. I'm very pleased with this update as to what it brought to the platform. So that's the pick of the week is Gmail for iOS and Android, but the mm-hmm. iOS version specifically because previously the Gmail app for iOS really wasn't that great, but now it's actually getting better, and it looks kind of like the Google Plus app did. So it's definitely worth looking into if you use iOS, and it's taken some UI hints from Sparrow, which was actually acquired by Google back this August. So it makes sense that we're starting to see some of the same kind of UI come into place. So I'm expecting we're going to see more changes later on down the line. And unlike Sparrow, Gmail for iOS actually supports push notifications, which is something that Sparrow never did because they were not able to as a client, and they didn't want to save your Gmail information. But of course, Google has that, so it's no problem for them to do it. So yeah, that's a pick. Gmail okay. for iOS.
Yay.
Yeah, you're happy I chose this one, aren't you?
I'm satisfied. I'll just leave it at that.
All right. All right.
Let's see. So, what are you been up to, Shane? Oh wait, want to do a clip show thing first?
Yeah. We gotta highlight that because we're wrapping up 2012, so it's time for to start gathering clips for the yearly clip show. Which, for anybody who isn't aware, it's a show where we go through the moments of the year that were deemed to be funny or just need to be looked at once again. And of course, we need your help for this because I gather clips as I go. But if I was to listen to every episode, that'd be an hour and a half extra a week that I don't have. So I just make editing notes along the way. So sometimes I miss things that you guys might see as funny. So please do send those clips in to us. You can do that by going to the bit.ly URL, bit.ly/2012clips, capital C. And just fill out the form. Give us your form name if you want, and then we'll give you credit for sending it in. And do try to be as detailed as you can as to where the clip was in the episode. Sometimes our question segments can run long, so if it was in questions, that's kind of too vague. Give us a pointer of whose question it was, or even better, as an example, give us the exact time that the clip starts, if you can. That'd be great.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so we're going to do that. Just the way things fall this year, I'm not sure if we're going to be doing a special show on the 21st, because the way it sounds is we're going to have the Christmas update that week. So, I don't know. We'll have to talk about that. But yeah, please do send the clips in for the clip show.
Alrighty. Shane, what have you been doing this week?
Well,
besides the quest.
Besides the quest. I did a bit of Slayer. Once again. Discovering all the different things that the creatures are weak against. Slayer, as I said, has been made much more fun than it was before for me because of the whole EOC update. And same thing goes for the quest. That was really a good learning experience for how to handle creatures, or how to tank damage, I guess, effectively, because using a shield and whatnot. So, yeah, essentially just lots of EOC stuff. I made some tweaks to the action bar sharer, so that now you can actually drag items out of the action bar if you want to delete them, or you can swap their positions by just dragging it to the position over. So that's nice.
Mm-hmm.
So I did that, and I did a bunch of did some more work on my other little project along the way, the sticky notes thing. So that's about it for me.
I finally did it. Finally killed that stupid dragon. So earlier this week, I finally went down with my gear and I finally slayed the Queen Black Dragon and I'm happy over it.
Yay! Oh, good. What'd you get?
Absolutely rubbish.
Oh, right. I guess that means I should remind people of our double drops last week and that I got Torva Gloves times 2 from one of my darts at Nex.
We talked about that earlier.
I know, but I just thought I'd mention again because it's the What Have We Been Doing section.
Yeah. So, besides that, I've been training agility with using my Festival Aura because I have a pendant for it. And so I might as well use it up.
Do the two stack?
Yeah, they stack. So I put them all both. I used the aura on construction, but I ran out of sacred clay, so I just stopped. I need to get more. It was nice getting tons of experience off of it. What's the other thing? Yeah, that's basically it. I got 80 hunter and all of that, and got 80 hunter. 80 hunter and 80 construction, so everything is above 80 now. So I'm happy with that. That's about it.
Good.
Yay!
I think I want to go try the Glacors this weekend again. Haven't done that since EOC came out.
I'll join you! Done that in a while. I'll join you.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I haven't been down there in forever.
Oh, but we should get a wand and a magic dragonfire shield first.
Magic and... Oh, you mean a regular one? A regular anti-fire shield thingy?
No, the dragonfire shield with the magic slant. So you can use it with a wand and not take the severe penalty.
I did not know they had that. Okay.
Yep.
And one other... Let's see. One other little thing that someone wanted to mention... Mr. Dano here is going to get all 1299s on December 12, 2012 at 12:12 a.m. GMT, which is, something in your time.
4:12 p.m. Pacific.
Yes, so 11. it's going to be next Wednesday. He's looking forward to all of you coming.
Tuesday.
Oh, Wednesday.
No, Tuesday. Tuesday.
Yeah. No, Wednesday. I'm looking at the calendar right now. Check your calendar.
Tuesday is the 11th, and Wednesday is the 12th. He's doing it 12:12 a.m. on the 12th, which means it's Tuesday for us because we're behind that.
Oh. Dang it, my brain's all fried. All right. God, Dana, do you really have to choose such a weird-ass time? So for us, it would be Tuesday 11th for whatever your time zone is. I put a link onto the show notes into his page so you can take a look. And we're here to celebrate Uncle Dano's get achievements of 12 consecutive 99. We'll be meeting
good.
A world.
So we're going to set a new record next week of having 12 99.
And,
All right. Sounds good.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be
With that being said, we'll.
In his house. Sorry. It's going to be at World 72 at his house in Yano. And huge drop party afterwards. And Shane, if you get anything, can I have it?
Yes, you can.
Whee! I don't want the clay pots. I know what you're going to do.
All right. Well, thank you for listening, everybody. And we'll see you all next week.
All right. Bye-bye. Take care. Much love. Thank you.
Thank you.